if you've got a bulletin sheet on the way in, you've looked at the sermon notes, and they're pretty empty. This is one of those mornings I like, well, I don't know how things are going to go this morning. And I'm not even talking about singing a song in a different key, which, Charlie, makes no difference to us, or tone deaf, E, D, G, you know, whatever. But the idea here was that you guys would be the sermon this morning, and this is kind of a culmination of our time of memorizing scripture. And so what we're going to have people do, and you'll get a feel for it as we go along, but we'll have the people that have turned in their cards and stuff, and many of the people aren't here. We have a lot of cards that have memorized scripture and then gotten certain points. Of course, the whole idea isn't about the points, it is about these prizes here, but just an incentive to have a lifetime of memorizing scripture. The Jewish people used to, as they have people memorize scripture, they put honey on the people's tongue so they could see that God's word was sweet. So you guys are the message for today. Okay. I will try to figure this out and this one out. Actually, I'm giving a message today, but it's just not here as much, and I would appreciate your prayers. I'm going to be the commencement speaker for graduation today, and so just the opportunity to speak to a large number of people. I would appreciate your prayers that would go well today, this afternoon. So, Dallas Willard is a professor of philosophy at USC, and basically he's a contemporary leader in Christian thought, and he said this: Bible memorization is absolutely fundamental to spiritual formation. If I had to choose between all the disciplines in spiritual life, I would choose Bible memorization because it's a fundamental way of filling our minds with what it means. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That's where you need it. How does it get in your mouth? By memorization. And so we're going to start off, and we're going to see how this goes. We're going to start with people that have turned in these cards. And then after that, and if you haven't been here, then please just this is for you to just witness and enjoy. But for those, yes, thank you. For those that is the big number in the middle? Is that the total?
Yeah.
All right. Just want to know where to put this. And so they're going to come up, and I'm asking, if you can, and I know it's hard to remember, but if you can, to recite one of the verses off of your card, and then choose a prize up here at the front, and we'll go on from there, and hopefully be filled with how God's word has gotten into our heart, as we looked at Psalm 119. It says, I've hidden God's word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So, these are like backwards, so I'm going from the back. The last will be first, and the first will be last. Our verse winner, I guess you could say, was Sam. And so, Sam, because you had 221. So, could you come on up, and I'm going to do this. Sorry, I'll move this back afterwards. And if you could just recite one of your verses for us, and then there we go.
12:17-18. Do not repay evil with evil to anyone. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If possible, as far as it depends on you,
job. All right. Abigail, I want you to thank you for coming up right when you did, because you were second with 155 points. Okay. Keep pulling down farther.
Keep your lips from evil and honor. My yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Oh, good job. All right. You can sit down here. What? Yeah. One. I'm gonna need your help. I'll ask you. Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay. Next would be Caleb. You might have to raise it up.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good job. All right, we have several from E-Zone and from our kids, the middle schoolers on Friday. And we had one that really made a real effort. In fact, he stayed after to memorize all of Psalm 23 last time. So I do want to, as Henry Chelf, he wasn't able to be here today, but he put down his 1, 2, 3 order. Did you get something? Okay. Did anybody get the basketball cards?
No.
Okay, because that was his number one.
Oh, yeah, I just did.
You just did? That's all right. Number two, okay. This was his number two choice with the Duck Commander devotional. I should have had you guys show people what you got when you picked it up. Sam, what do you have there? Tickets to Michigan Adventure. Awesome. Abigail, what did you get? So strength. Caleb, what'd you grab there? Oh, the basketball cards. Okay. All right. So next, you giving yours?
Yeah.
You did? I don't know. But Mrs. Hodson, what's next with 100 points? Yeah. No, you have to bring it down.
There might have been a little family pressure to be involved in this competition. Okay, so Sam, look at him. He's my coach. put it down. It's all over, Sam. Okay, mine is Matthew 7:1. Stop looking at it. I was going to do my best. Matthew 7, turn it over. Verses 1 to 2. Judge not that you will not be judged. This is the New King James Version. Judge is 7 times in my version. Judge not that you will not be judged, for with for as you judge others, so you will be judged. See all those judges? And with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you.
Is for win.
Caleb, for win.
Judge not.
Judge exit.
The measure you use.
It's over.
Tate Cox.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Come on up.
Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
Nate.
Oh, God. I learned this in the notes.
But I didn't
You did, okay, you did the whole thing.
Matthew is a competent Jew by Jew. Mark shows Jesus as a servant on the move. Luke shows Jesus as perfect humanity. John shows the Son of God and his deity. Acts is the book where we make the great provision. Romans talks about the sacrificial death decision. 1 and 2 Corinthians are to make the church strong. In Galatians, we learn life is and works is wrong. 1 and 2 Corinthians. Romans talks about the sacrificial death decision. 1 and 2 Corinthians are to make the church strong. In Galatians, we learn life is and works is wrong. Ephesians are encouraged to accept their world. Philippians, the unity is part of Christian health. Colossians is Christ's preeminent. 1 and 2 Thessalonians for a church like it. 1 Timothy is a letter to a young pastor. 2 Timothy is a letter to another son of the king after. 1 Titus is a young pastor got a letter. 1 Timothy is a letter to a young pastor. 2 Timothy is another letter to a king after. Titus is another young pastor got a letter. Philemon had a former slave who deserved better. Hebrews served the people wanting perfection and faith. James faith is a way to go to right perfection. 1 James says to conduct himself righteously. 2 James says all sacrifices, especially contagiously. 1 John tells people to walk in the light. 2 and 3 John lists more than is right. Jew, hey Jew, watch out for false teachers, read the latest of these God trying to evil creatures. Alright, that was it.
Alright, anybody else who maybe didn't fill out a card but came with a verse prepared? Alright. Haley
knows
one. Alright, Haley. Yeah. I know this is like everybody's worst nightmare. Like sometimes just coming into a church is a really scary thing. And then next is like public speaking is a really scary thing. And then like doing it by memory is like on top of that.
Can she do like grade school with more
style? Yeah. Yeah, right there.
John 3:16.
For God
so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Anybody else? Trevor? But Kale's pointing at you. That must mean something. Becky?
I have one for Pastor Kale.
Okay.
James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Do what it says.
He was actually adding the Greek in there. Yeah, Andy.
I like to find the shortest verse possible that says the most, like just profoundly. So this wasn't on the list, but I added it in my card.
I thought about what Jesus wept. Go ahead.
Beyond Jesus wept.
Okay.
John 3:30, he must become greater and I must become less.
Anybody else? If not, I'm going to ask Charlie to come up. Charlie's been working on some memorization, and kind of fittingly, this morning in Grove in his work class, we were looking at Romans. And, you know, a lot of the great Christian thinkers from Augustine to Martin Luther to John Calvin and John Wesley had their thoughts changed or solidified by reading Romans, and it led to a lot of the great reformations in history. And William Tyndale, who wrote one of the first English Bibles, and you heard of Tyndale Publishing House, he said that I think it meet or necessary that each person memorize or know Romans by rote and live there within. Charlie's going to share one of the chapters.
My mom is just someone who doesn't follow rules. When we homeschool them, we do all kinds of crazy things. So I didn't like necessarily work off a list. I was working on my own. And actually, just FYI, I started Romans last year, got like to 6 verses and quit. So if you feel like, boy, I could never do this, yes, you can. Because just like get back up and you try again and you just discipline yourself. It makes me my prompter if I get stuck. And I was thinking on the way here, I would love to stand in the back. Because I really don't want y'all looking at me. So good job, Timber.
Just hold the guitar.
Well, it's so, see, I'm nervous when I'm holding the guitar too. It doesn't matter what I'm doing up here. I'm always nervous. So I'm probably going to fall up. But, okay, I'm going to start with Romans 1, and then I'm going to move to Romans 8. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who is, to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to be obedient that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I just get nervous. Okay. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world, and God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the true thought of wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Because they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, I miss like a tiny word. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, a big fervent word, whatever. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. I always use that on my kids. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Romans 8, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met.
according to spirit. Those who live according to sinful nature have their mindset on what that sinful nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. For the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead also lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if, by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And you did not receive... For you did not receive a spirit of fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are God now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's as far as I have.
The cool thing about that is, I know that those aren't just words. When you spend the time to memorize something like that, each part of that is going to be getting into you. I mean, just even the last part about, and not consider our present sufferings even worth comparing with the eternal glory that awaits us. That, you know, how much you probably marinated in that scripture. Well, I will finish with...
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you, when they falsely say all kinds of evil about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. For in the same way, great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who came before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and be trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and place it under a bowl. Instead, they place it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, will by any means pass away from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, "Raka," will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are at the altar and offering your gift, and there remember that a brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then, come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way. Or he may turn you over to the judge may turn you over to the officer, and you may be thrown in prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for one part of your body, for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said that anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to be an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oath that you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye, and tooth for tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other one as well. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks from you. And do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and his rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? If you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That ends the chapter. Nate, did I miss something? Okay, all right. Let's do this. And I know it's on like Charlie. I know if you've got Maddie wasn't here and she had a card and I'm gonna get something for her. Do that. You can do that as soon as we're done. But let's have Charlie, the first team, come back up front. And we just got a small taste here this morning. Romans 12:12 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good, perfect, and pleasing will. But the transformed by the renewing of our mind through the watching of his word. I would just continue to make that a goal that we'd always have God's word with us. I told the story when we first started this of the young man who was with his grandfather, and he was talking about reading the Bible, and he couldn't retain it, and whatever he read, as soon as he closed the book, he forgot it, and it wasn't any good, and it didn't make a difference. And his grandfather said, okay, and he's in the hills of Kentucky, and he said, look, take this, I want you to take a cool basket down to the river. I want you to get a basket full of water and bring it back. So he got the basket, he went down to the river, he put it in the water, he pulled it up, and of course by the time he got back up, the water had all run out through the holes in the basket. And the grandfather said, look, no, you're just not fast enough. I want you to go down and get a basket full of water. And he went down again to the river, he went a little faster, he put the basket in the water, he brought it back up, but of course the water had run out again. He said, grandfather, wouldn't it be easier if I just took a bucket, if I just took a pail? And he said, no, I want a basket full of water. You're not going fast enough. I want you to do it again. And I want you to bring me a basket full of water. He went down again and put the basket in the water. And he ran as fast as he could, but of course, still, the water had run out before he got back. And he said, grandfather, it's of no use. He said, if you think it's of no use, he goes, look at that basket. And it was this dirty, cold basket. Perfectly clean. He says it's the same way as we're reading through God's word. That sometimes that we don't retain everything that we've read or we've heard, but it cleans us from the inside out. Even if it's running through and it seems like it's water going through our fingers, that it's doing its work on us and cleaning us from the inside. But that's my encouragement for you. And let's stand together as we close the word. Hold on one second.